Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people unto me." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the Holy Cross. It's a day on the calendar which commemorates the day when Queen Mother Helena, the mother of Constantine, first found splinters of the Holy Cross on one of her pilgrimages to Jerusalem. Also commemorates the date when the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was founded on the spot to commemorate her finding of the cross later on. And appropriately for this day, to celebrate the Holy Cross, we check in on John's Gospel right at the decisive turning point. Now, each of the Gospels has a decisive turning point. There's something funny, though, about the turning point in John's Gospel, and it's sort of what context leads to it. Jesus is acting a bit strange in the second half of chapter 12 of the Gospel. See, some Greeks come to him because they want to see him. And they go and tell Philip, and Philip tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, who were two of his first three disciples in John, Philip tells Andrew, Philip and Andrew go and tell Jesus, and suddenly Jesus' mood changes. His soul is troubled, he says. He begins talking a lot about death. And I imagine Philip nudging Andrew and saying, maybe it's not a good time to introduce the Greeks to him. Why the mood change, and why does the thoughts of an introduction trigger it? In the synoptics, especially perhaps in Matthew, it seems that the prospect of death itself is what's troubling Jesus after the turn in the gospel. Here, though, I think it's something else, and I think the context gives us some clues about what that something is. Jesus, in describing the trouble to his soul, uses two metaphors. Really a metaphor and a figure. He's trying to describe what he means in his immediate reaction to, hey, some Greeks want to see you, when he says, it's time for my death, which will also be my glorification, and sort of stare at him blankly, wondering if he's going to elaborate. His first metaphor that he uses, both metaphors, by the way, try to describe what it means to have a death that's a glorification, but in a way totally different than, say, a heroic death that will, you know, there's that kind of glorification. We will make a monument to you, and the whole nation will remember the great death that you died. His metaphors do something very different. His first metaphor is of that grain of wheat, the seed that falls to the ground and dies, and if it dies, it bears much fruit. Then he moves on to another figure, and it's a figure that he's already used once in that conversation with Nicodemus back several chapters earlier. He says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This really becomes John's controlling metaphor for what's happening in the cross, his controlling image, let's say, for what's happening in the cross. Back in the discussion with Nicodemus, Jesus had said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. It's interesting to note about this. In that image, God the Father is Moses, and Jesus is the snake on the pole. Just as Moses lifted up, hear the active, Moses lifted up, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, the shift to the passive. Jesus is a dead snake on a pole. And now when he is lifted up, he will draw all people unto himself. What do the two images have in common, the grain of wheat and the serpent? Or the drawing, the lifting up and the drawing? What they have in common, I think, is companionship. Others. The much fruit that grows on a tree once a single seed is torn apart will be a bearing of the fruit of others, the all people who will be drawn to him when he is lifted up. See, I think that Jesus' soul is troubled in John's gospel by the coming of the Greeks, because this is the first clue that all are being drawn to him. His friendship with Philip and Andrew, and then with Peter and Nathanael, has now drawn to him rulers, authorities, blind men, sick women, and now the nations, which is generally what the term Greeks means in the New Testament. The nations are coming to see him. All are being drawn to him. And it's as if this is the signal that he's been awaiting. As if somewhere in Jesus' mind he knew that when all are drawn to me, it's time to be lifted up. And he's troubled, I think, mostly, or at least primarily here, because the lifting up means the loss of friendship. That loss is all over the passage we just heard. How can you be lifted up, the crowd wants to know. I thought the Messiah would remain with us forever. Theodore of Mopsuestia, in his late 4th century commentary, says that they are actually misunderstanding his allusion. They weren't there in the nighttime chat with Nicodemus, so they didn't hear about the snake on the pole. And they think, when they hear, "I will be lifted up," they think about Enoch and Elijah. Elijah, who was whisked off in a chariot of fire, and Enoch, who simply was not, for God took him. Are you leaving us, they want to know, are you leaving us like Enoch? Are you leaving us like Elijah? Jesus is troubled because the answer is yes, sort of. Death will separate him from his friends. The growing company of friendship that increasingly is looking like all people. It will separate him from his friends. But it will do something else too. It will draw that increasingly growing circle of friends to him. And it will, in fact, allow for a new kind of companionship, a kind of friendship that none of those who are drawn to him have yet imagined. The Christian doctrine of soteriology is the teaching about salvation. And that word salvation has health at its root. I like to use the example of my grandmother's medicine cabinet, which always has a stock of black salve in it that I think came from Woolworths back when that was a store sometime in the pre-war era, perhaps. I'm not sure. Salve, salvation, health, a health-giving balm. The word salvation has health as its very root. You should be aware that the Bible is loaded with all sorts of metaphors and images about the good, ways of describing the good work that God does for us and the good work that God does in us. The language of atonement gets at this one way. The language of salvation gets at it another. In John, salvation is a healing of all men and women of the world, Jews and Greeks, in a way akin to the healing that takes place in that story of Moses that we get from the book of Numbers. Poisonous snakes have invaded the camp, and God instructs Moses to lift a bronze serpent on a long pole visible to all. And once it was lifted up, all who looked at it, all whose eyes were drawn to it, were healed. It's a strange story. It's a story that invites much exegetical play that we can't give to it at the moment. But the strangeness of the story that Jesus latches onto in John's gospel is, first of all, the irony. A symbol of poison will end the plague of venomous snakes. The snake that bit you will be the means to your healing. It will be your salvation. Jesus, especially in John's gospel, loves his friends. And he loves the strangers who come to find him. And eventually, as we'll find out a few chapters later, he loves all those who come after him, the ones he hasn't even met yet. And here he sees that he can love them to the end by drawing them to an image of terror that can also be the beginning of their healing. You see, we're just about in the very next chapter to hear the story of Judas, who will start the machines cranking that will put Jesus on the cross or lift him up on the pole. The machinations that will lead to his death will be the very same machinations that will lead to the healing of all those who are drawn. What does it mean to be drawn to the cross then, finally? Here it seems to mean finding our healing as the people who are drawn to a poison that's also the antidote. The martyrs used to make the sign of the cross in the days prior to Helena's finding of pieces of it in Jerusalem. They used to make the sign of the cross on themselves as they went to their martyrdom, suggesting that they were in fact drawn to this cross, and through it healed of the fear of death and tyranny, and so through it empowered to confront death as Jesus, their friend, had confronted death. They made the sign of the cross as if they had entered a companionship with Jesus on the far side of fear. And through that confronting of death, they were simply celebrating the deeper, more lasting friendship that they had with him. What are our crosses? What are the serpents in our life? The dangers, the threats, the fears that drive us, as this text says, into places of darkness where we lose our way. See, the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of John's gospel, is that those dangers, those threats, those fears are finally not things that we have to flee from. We don't have to be whisked off in chariots of fire to avoid them. But in fact, they can themselves become the very antidote. The poison can become the very antidote. The very snakes that threaten us can become the means to to our own healing. It's for this very reason, Jesus says here, that I have come into the world. This, I think, is finally the meaning of the cross in John's gospel. Just as Moses lifted up the deadly poison so that it could heal, God lifts up a death so that all those who are drawn to it will find themselves friending and befriending God and all God's companions, all God's friends, within an unimagined fullness of life, within an unimagined fullness of health, within an unimagined salvation.